This is Ryan Record bringing Greenfest to you, and I have a special guest, Congressman John Sarbanes, in the house. Take it away, folks.
Thank you, Ryan, and yes, we are here live at Greenfest. It's a beautiful, beautiful day, and the setup, I'm just really loving it this year.
Great.
It's great. It's here at SET building. It's a brand new building here at Howard Community College. It's just beautiful, and I can see everything from the second floor, and now with me I have Congressman John Sarbanes. And he is just going to talk to us a little bit. I would like to start getting to know you a little bit, so if you can just kind of give me an overview of who you are.
So I've been representing Maryland's 3rd District for, I guess, the last 12 years. I'm in my 7th term here. And the 3rd District includes parts of Howard County.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a lot of my constituents here today at the Green Fest, and it's an incredible assembly of resources and advocacy on our environment, making sure we protect the environment. Obviously, the Chesapeake Bay is a huge priority
mm-hmm.
for Marylanders. I grew up as a kid. I used to go down the Eastern Shore and go fishing and crabbing on the Nanticoke River, and I kind of got the Chesapeake Bay into my bloodstream then. And have really worked to be a champion of the environment in the Bay ever since. So I get that opportunity in Congress at what is a very important moment for us right now in terms of pivoting towards a real embrace of the environment
mm-hmm.
and fighting against climate change.
Absolutely. So before we go a little bit into some of the initiatives that you support and some of the things that you are doing, I'd like to get to just talk a little more, because you said you grew up at the Chesapeake Bay, so you're from Maryland,
yes.
I take it.
Yes.
And how have you seen that change, you know, like the weather? I'm from Ecuador. I have only been here since 2001, and I've seen and I've felt a very different, every summer, every winter is very different. And from the stories that I hear from people like yourself who have grown here in Maryland, how do you see that the weather is changing here in the state?
There's no question that climate change is having more of an impact with each passing year. You obviously see it in the temperature during the summers. We keep having these record-setting temperatures in the summertime. But you also see it in Maryland with what's happening to our coastal communities.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the city of Annapolis, which is in my district, experiences these tidal flooding events now increasingly over the course of the year. You can have what they call these sunny day floodings, where just the tide is coming up 2-3 inches, covering downtown Annapolis, the city dock, and so forth. And
so
it
you're
shows
saying that as if it's a new thing.
Yes, it's every year that goes by, you see the number of these flooding events increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to, for example, the Union of Concerned Scientists, they will tell you that the projections with current models are that's going to get much worse with each passing year. So the imperative for us to do something about climate change and try to bring that trajectory down, that is just increasing as well. And it's going to take not just policymakers, but
right.
really the citizens stepping up with the kind of advocacy that we're seeing here today at Greenfest to make that difference
right.
for our environment, for our planet. That's why it's so important.
And that's what I love about this event, you know, that it really gets to the people. It really gets to us. It really gets to me, who is not necessarily looking at it day to day. You know, it's not in my face. Like, I'm sure it's in your desk, on your desk every
yeah.
single day, you know, laws about how to protect the environment. I don't have anything like that arriving to my house reminding me about it. So events like this are great, because you really come and get educated of the little steps that you can take at home that have a greater impact, you know, in the community at large.
And I think young people are going to be the leading edge of this. I was saying earlier at an event here that there are these moments in human history where it's the next generation, the young generation, that takes an issue
mm-hmm.
and really grabs it and makes it their leadership opportunity. I think the environment is that issue. I think young people recognize how critical it is. And young people can force older generations to do the right thing. A lot of the progress we've made, for example, on recycling happened because young people started to insist to their parents that they do the right thing.
Right.
And when it comes to taking steps to address climate change, I think it's the next generation that's going to be the key. So to see young people here today is particularly inspiring given what we face as a challenge right now.
Absolutely. And some of the organizations that we've talked this morning, they're talking about partnering with the school system and starting really, really young, right there at the beginning, you know, educating them on what recycling looks like, what, you know, growing local fruits and vegetables looks like, because that can be a challenge unless, you know, when you're older, when you're of a certain generation, right? And I'm going to include myself in that, right? If you didn't do it as a child, if this is something that you're new, you're kind of reluctant to maybe try it because you don't want to mess up. You don't know what to do. And you feel that maybe there's not enough resources out there, because another thing that we're challenged with, right, my generation and above me, is technology. And we're a little bit afraid of it in many ways and many times. So even though there's great resources out there, right?
I recognize the role that young people could play in an effort that I was working on for years, which is the No Child Left Inside Act.
And I was going to go there. Thanks for going there.
So the whole idea was to really bring environmental education into the curriculum in schools across the country, recognizing that if you could inspire young people to embrace the environment early, make that a part of their learning, that they could take that to the next level. It would lead them to careers in the environment and sciences, and it would also make them leaders in their own families, as I mentioned, and with other generations. It would allow them to become stewards of the environment and sort of own that responsibility. And we worked for 10 years to get the No Child Left Inside Act passed. We finally got it done a couple of years ago, and it will create grant funding opportunities at the U.S. Department of Education to fund environmental literacy programs, outdoor education programs across the country. And I think if we equip our young people with those tools and that sensitivity and that awareness, they're the ones that can sort of lead us out of the woods on this, or maybe the better way to put it is lead us into the
into
woods,
the woods, yeah,
and into nature and into the environment. So I'm betting on the next generation to be the ones that can help save the planet.
Absolutely. And, you know, I agree with you because as much as I can do and as much as I can understand, and my kids are the ones who really can get, I mean, hands-on and just start really acting really hard on this and teaching me, which I am really open to. I'm like, you know, guys, I'm not using a straw and I'm not using a lid. What else can I do, right?
Exactly.
Like, what other things can I do? So where did you get that inspiration for the No Child Left Inside? What drove you to, you know, recognize that it really was in the future generations, not so much in our generation?
So it was actually the perfect combination of things, very much reflected in what we see here today, which is that I had my own sensitivity on the environment. It came from my participating in nature as a young person. That's why it's so important to get young people engaged early, because then they become champions of this.
So was your family involved in this type of thing since you...
Well, just being outdoors, that opportunity to visit my grandmother on the Eastern Shore and to be out there crabbing and fishing and visiting Ocean City and the ocean and so forth. So it was in me.
So you've been exposed to nature.
Yes, but then it was a group of advocacy organizations that came together, like the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, various environmental education programs, outdoors groups, and they formed a coalition, and they started to seek out members of Congress. They came to me and said, we have this idea to create this kind of emphasis on environmental literacy and get the U.S. Department of Education to step into it in a more meaningful way. And so we worked together with that coalition, many of the members of which actually are groups that are here today. Over time, we built a coalition of 3,000 organizations nationally across the country.
Maryland leading the way?
With Maryland leading the way.
Fantastic.
And they were able to push this legislation forward, the No Child Left Inside. So it takes grassroots organization on the part of the public to achieve these goals, and we were able to be successful there, but there's so much more to do.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. So, you know, going back to your experience with the Chesapeake Bay, I see that you are a big supporter of the Chesapeake Bay, and you're making lots of efforts to protect it. Can you tell us a little more about some of the things that you're doing for that?
The most important thing right now is to make sure we keep the Chesapeake Bay program at the EPA strong. Unfortunately, the president in his budget has proposed cutting funding for that program by 90%. It currently is funded at $73 million. He wants to cut it down to $7 million. 2 years ago, he wanted to zero it out completely. Luckily, there's a bipartisan coalition, Democrats and Republicans, in Congress that understand the importance of the Bay funding for that program, because it's what's going to let us meet these targets that have been set for 2025 in terms of cleaning up our streams and tributaries and so forth. And I think that coalition is going to make sure we restore most of the funding. But it would be nice if we had a president who understood the value of this as a priority. But right now, because we're in the appropriations process, the budget process, as we speak, we're advocating to actually not cut the $73 million, but increase it to $90 million so that we can finish strong over the next 5 or 6 years and really demonstrate the improvements to the Chesapeake Bay and the health of the Chesapeake Bay that was the original goal of the EPA program. So that's a critical initiative right now.
And what is this money being used for? What are, you know, what are the specific hands-on activities that are happening at the Bay right now?
There's all kinds of things, but for example, in a local jurisdiction like this, it can help to fund, you know, clean stream cleanups, that kind of thing. Figuring out a way, to be honest, to help ordinary homeowners do things on their own property that can improve water quality, cut down on runoff. There's a lot of things you can do in urban areas with these very targeted initiatives, but also in rural areas as well. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of runoff that happens from our agriculture industry. And if you help farmers with best practices, then it doesn't have to be a threat in terms of their economic opportunity. It can actually be a win-win situation. So there's a lot of these local targeted initiatives in communities that the Chesapeake Bay program can help to fund. And that leverages broader partnerships as well. So we have to keep that strong, or we're not going to make the difference on the Chesapeake Bay that we'd all like to see.
You know, I like that you keep bringing it down to the community. You keep bringing it down to the homes. I mean, it sounds like this really, yes, you guys are working at the top level, you know, looking at it from a global perspective, but it sounds like it really, the key is to bring it down and to really look inside the houses, inside the communities, if you want to make a big difference.
The only way we're going to clean up the Chesapeake Bay, 64,000 square miles of the Chesapeake Bay watershed, is if we get to a point where the 17 million residents of the watershed have good habits when it comes to the environment as opposed to bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is you reach to the local level and you engage young people. And in the same way, we went from a time when people would just roll down their windows and throw litter out on the road as they were driving along, where they didn't pay attention to recycling. But now they've changed their behavior.
Right.
It's a habit now that we've assimilated to do certain things. We can continue to form those positive habits when it comes to protecting the bay, what we do with water quality, et cetera, on our own properties, in our own homes, and young people are going to be the ones that are the key to that.
Absolutely. Before we wrap our conversation up, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know, just, you know, in general about green initiatives, how they can make it, maybe start, you know, simple steps they can start maybe incorporating in the house, or how they can get involved with some of the initiatives that you have and that you're trying to work on?
I would just encourage everybody who cares about this issue.
Everybody should care about this.
Well, I was just going to say that. Really, everybody who's listening, learn the science. You don't have to be an expert on it, but pay enough attention to the science out there to see why we are really reaching a kind of crisis stage when it comes to our environment, particularly climate change. But then understand, and there's plenty of resources that can help people understand this better, how what you do every single day in your daily life, the amount of water you use, the amount of electricity you use, how you dispose of things in your own home, how you maintain your property, you have an amazing amount of influence over what happens with our environment. And if one household adopts best practices and then begins to share that with others, and then a neighborhood takes ownership, and a broader community, a jurisdiction like Howard County, which is really on the cutting edge. Before you know it, the combined positive impact that that has on the environment begins to overwhelm what used to be a combined negative impact. As you say, it all starts with the individual citizen, and we can do so much on our own to advance that ball. Then as citizens get more well-versed in this, they come at policymakers and say, here's a proposal, here's a way we can change the law to accelerate our efforts and our progress on the environment. And then it's up to us as elected representatives to respond to that and go do the right thing. In my case, in Washington, to be an advocate and a champion for the Chesapeake Bay and for our planet. So it all works organically that way.
Absolutely. We are a team. We are a team. You represent us, and if we care about our one planet, right, because we don't have
a planet B.
Right, there's no planet B. There's no adult move to Mars, right? If we care about this, we need to get educated. We need to do more. We need to start small steps. Come to events like GreenFest and just kind of like start to find out what is your county doing? What are organizations out there doing? What are better ways that you can start, you know, kind of like dividing your waste out better? You know, I learned about that this morning with the Feed the Green Bin. This is a great initiative that Howard County has going on right now. Less Plastic is another one that is just fantastic. I learned so much through them as well. And they had some great legislation just happen as well. So you're right. It takes, you know, everybody, us in our homes, taking little steps, coming to you guys, you know, in Congress who are representing us, who can take and really make it happen for everybody in our community. So thank you so much for taking
the
time to speaking with us today.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.